Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It is a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Is Mary Larson.
Oh, my name is Blake.
Hi.
I gotta tell you, I'm ready for some revolutionary time,
ooh,
baby.
Goodness gracious.
I'm ready for all the revolution.
So say we all.
You know what? I'm keeping the music from the previous seasons. You know, just because I love the bagpipes, I love these drums, I love the whole thing. This just makes me feel good about life.
I know.
Feels good to get back into the swing of it.
You know, so many things about this upcoming season 7 are giving people the feels of Outlander of yore.
Outlander of yore.
You like that?
That was, you know what?
Very
revolutionary time.
Ooh,
of you.
I know, that's why I went for that adjective. I mean, I just feel like, you know, this trailer, which is what we're talking about today, gave people all the feels, but particularly the feels of early Outlander essence, of give me some really good Claire and Jamie moments. Give me some fighting moments where truly our life is on the line as a whole community, not just as one particular person, even though those moments were, of course, very scary. But what I'm saying is that this trailer, this 2.5 minutes, has done something to the fandom that I don't think I've seen in a while.
Has it done it to you? Marvin, that's the thing.
It gave me goosies.
Did it really?
It gave me goosies. And I don't get goosies a lot.
Yeah, okay.
There is some Outlander magic in this trailer. And for those of you watching live, I want to know what kind of effect it had on you. Friends listening who are in the future.
Yes, on the podcast app.
We are going to be having live podcasts for the entire season of season 7. So if you are not yet following Blake and I on Facebook or YouTube.
What are you doing?
You're going to want to be there because every Sunday night at 8:30, unless there might be one week where we're going to be traveling.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this like crazy notion that we might rent an RV and head out west for a moment.
So we could still do it live technically.
We're going to see.
Yeah.
In an RV with our kids and a dog and maybe even Lumos.
And technically, I will actually be traveling for work on 1 week.
Okay.
Too, as well. So, but well, again, we'll do it. We'll figure it out.
We're going to be figuring this out, but no matter what, Sundays are for the Frasers. Even though it's going to be airing on Fridays, our podcasts are going to be on Sunday nights. And I am so excited to jump into this season on so many levels.
Yes. Okay, great. So here's what I want to do, Marvin. What I want to do is we're going to hold the GBGs and we're going to hold the ratings. We're going to hold everything and we're going to hold it for after the trailer analysis and breakdown and the whole thing. How's that sound?
Love it.
Okay, because I figure...
Because you just want to jump into it. Blake was actually like, Mary, can we just show the trailer in the beginning? I said, we need to give an intro.
Yes.
We need to say hello to everybody and welcome them.
Yes.
So...
But anyway, so that's what we're going to... Normally, we would do the whole GBG and the ratings and everything beforehand, but in this instance, we're going to hold it off at the end and then we'll go from there. But I do want to reiterate what Mary just said. We are going live for hopefully... every single episode of Outlandercast this season. And I'm very excited about
friends
it.
Who have been following us for a while, we had a rough couple of years with health. And my long COVID is still an issue.
Yes.
But it is not as great of an issue in my every single minute of my life as it was the previous season. Plus, I have learned some little tweaks. AKA, I take naps. And this podcast will be airing in the summer when I won't have to wake up at the crack of dawn to get my kids ready for school. So thank you, Summertime Outlander.
Yes.
And naps
that
for making
helps.
This possible.
Certainly helps. Of course, Marvin, before we get into the trailer and we do our whole episode analysis, I'm sorry, not episode analysis, trailer analysis, I do want to thank everybody over at jointhenerdclan.com who make this entire production, whether you are watching it live right now or you're listening to it later on in the podcast. The members at jointhenerdclan.com make all of this possible. Because if this is your first time listening to myself and Mary for Outlander, the Mary and Blake Media is not affiliated with any of these big major corporations that are somehow sucking up the entire podcast space.
Yes.
It is happening, and it is unfortunate. But the good news for us is that you guys make it happen, and you are able to give us the opportunity to keep our opinions free of any bias. Okay, we are completely independent. What you hear is the truth. We are not paid by anybody to say good things. No. If we don't like something, we're going to tell you. If we love something, we're going to tell you. And if it sends us to Mars, we're going to tell you that
That's
too.
Right.
Because that's what we love. And mm-hmm. we're here. When you love something, you have just as much right to celebrate it as you do criticize it. That's the beautiful thing of art and television and all of the above. So jointhenerdclan.com makes that happen. If you want to become a member there, it takes as little as $2 a month, and you will be able to get access to many a great thing, including early access to all of our podcasts, special bonus content from Mary and I, including the triumphant return of the After Doc show after each podcast for the main episode that we do for Outlander, as well as knee-jerk reactions and just the community alone. Trust me, you don't want to miss it.
And thank you for those of you who are already members there. You truly are a family to us, so we appreciate you so much. All right.
You ready?
On that note, our friends are like, let's do this. Let's sink our teeth into this trailer. I am going to need your headphones.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to take them off, huh?
I know. That's why I kept saying I can't hear anything.
Yeah, yeah. I got you.
That's going to be a difficult trailer analysis if I can't hear it.
Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Let's do some recap here. All right, Marvin. Ready? Do you want to just jump right into it, or like, yeah, how do you want to handle it?
No, I want to watch the entire thing the whole way through.
Okay.
So that way people can like revisit it, and those who are watching it with us live can revisit it visually.
Okay.
And then we're going to go bit by bit.
All right, let's do it, shall we?
I can't hear anything.
I can't hear anything either. Oh, that's the reason.
It's because it's muted. There we go.
You know what? We're going to try
Start
that
it again.
Again. We're going to try that
Live
again.
Live podcasting.
You'll come back. You'll come back to me. You always do.
I'm not as brave as I was before you came. I'm not brave enough to live without you anymore.
We will make it back here one day, won't we?
Assassination.
There's unrest in the streets, if you haven't noticed.
Washington desperately needs soldiers up at Fort Ticonderoga.
I love this land. I want to fight for it.
I'd hoped that Jamie would stay away from it, but maybe he's supposed to be there. Maybe he always was.
You will not fight for the crown, even if for no other reason than to stand beside your son.
Battle is coming.
I made a promise to myself I would never face my son across the barrel of a gun.
With me!
Blood of my blood, bone of my bone.
Where did you get this?
Been saving it. Should I be killed, you could take it, go back.
I love you.
I'm so proud to call you family. How are you for you both?
I guess that's what fathers do.
No, don't do that!
You'll come back to me. You always do.
All right, so, okay.
Let's all take a moment. And in the comments for our live friends, let us know how many times you have seen that trailer. Like, even if it's a guesstimate. So incredibly good. So momentous.
Yes.
And I love it. I absolutely love it. This is actually a little late for them to be coming out with a trailer.
Yes. Well, you know, you were about a month out when it came out, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually trailers like this probably, you know, are on the about 2 month mark generally, just to build up, you know, steam for it and everything. I will say that there's a lot of upheaval happening at Lionsgate, which is the parent company for Starz. As a matter of fact, Lionsgate is trying to offload Starz right now. So I'm not sure if that plays a role in it. I'm not sure perhaps if the filming or anything like that plays a role.
And Sam's
in it.
Other film had just was coming out.
Correct.
So his film. So that could have played into it. But whatever it was, we love it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm kind of okay with it having this short time frame because now we don't feel like we have to keep waiting. So much of Outlander over these past several years has been a big long wait, a big long Droughtlander and long stretches. And now this isn't a long stretch. This is really helping us get into that anticipation where you can watch it multiple times and not get tired of it before the season actually starts. You know what I mean? It's not like a well-loved record that you listen to so much that it doesn't work anymore. This is still going to do it for us. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through this trailer now.
Yeah, sure.
Bit by bit. And for those of you who are new, I want to give you a heads up because our Outlander podcast is a wee bit different than other Outlander podcasts that you may tune into or video aspects that you may watch. And the big difference, my friends, is my amazing and charming and oh so fun husband, Blake.
Super charming.
You are. As he has not read the books. He's read up through Voyager by now, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. Voyager was last, yes.
So he's read up through Voyager, but he has not read anything further in the series. So because of that, in our chats and in the comments that we share, we keep things spoiler-free. And I think that this is fun because obviously there is a rabid fan base of book readers.
Yes.
And we love you. And I am one of you, and I am here for this. And I'm loving the conversations. But there are also a large portion of people who either came to Outlander through the show and have just stuck with it as the show. Or there's other people who came to it through the show and have started reading, but Diana Gabaldone writes very large books. They may not necessarily be through the entire series that she's written so far or even to where we are in the show. And so we do keep this show spoiler free. So as I look at this trailer and as other friends who can see into the future as I can, because we've read the books, it is a little tricky sometimes to hold our tongues, to hold our comments.
Yes.
But I also think that this allows us to enjoy the show for the show, right?
Yes, because one of the main Mary and Blake Media commandments is that this is true for any of the shows or properties that we cover. Book is book, show is show, or movie is movie. That's it. That's how it goes. Yes, the book can inspire the show, or it can inspire a film, but they are not meant to be direct remakes. More importantly, a film or a show is meant to change things from the books, ladies and gents. That's the idea, because there are certain things that work in books that do not in film, and vice versa. So I wouldn't want an exact remake. Like, we talk about Harry Potter a lot, right? Like, mm-hmm. And we have our Potterverse podcast. I can't wait to see differences, and I can't wait to see storytelling devices that are different from the book, because that gives that person who is the showrunner or the director or the writer creative license to do something that is important, right? It gives the freedom to make the story theirs. And I think that's important. So yes, whenever there is some spoilerific comment in the chat, I will not be reading it. I will not be acknowledging it.
Yeah, and we ideally just don't ask.
So just don't do it. And
because there are plenty other places for that, and we hope that you can still enjoy the podcast through a show watcher's eyes.
Yes.
Knowing that whenever we know something, the magic word is interesting. It's a so very we'll high, you often have to bite your tongue and say interesting. But on the flip side, I think that this really helps open up the fandom and will encourage more people to delve into the books.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So here's the deal. Why don't we get into the trailer? We'll go bit by bit, and then we'll go from there. And maybe we'll do an outlandish theory of the week. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe if I feel like making some bad decisions today, then we'll do that. Mm-hmm. If not, then we'll do something else. All right, Marvin, here we go. Let's try it. Now,
you'll come back to me. You always do.
Okay, stop right there.
We're stopping.
Right there. Come back to me. Come back to me, soldier. Like all the times that Claire has said this.
Yes.
And he has always come back. And I love this because so often they're just torn apart. You know, one of them is off on some adventure. Someone has to go save somebody else. Like Jamie and Claire are always being torn apart, but they're always coming back to each other. So I'm loving that they're starting this trailer this way.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, they're going to start together, but they are going to separate again.
Yeah.
Because she's right now saying, you've got to come back to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. They've also kind of done away with any of the drama from the end of the last season, mm-hmm. which was, okay, we're going off to rescue Claire. Like, oh, no, no. That's just a given now. Like, mm-hmm. which, Mary, I'd love to know your thoughts about that. Is that the right choice or is that the poor choice?
The choice that they've made with this?
Yeah, like not even like alluding to the fact that there was a cliffhanger at the end of the last season.
Listen, the last season had some issues, okay?
I'm going to say some. I'm going to say more than just some.
I'm starting anew, Blake. Don't rain on my parade. Okay, let's keep going. If you're going to bring up last season and how it ended, we're ignoring that. We're giving peace and love, okay? Okay,
all peace and love.
All peace and love. There were situations out of their control.
Yep.
We're starting anew.
But let's do this. I like what you did say, though, Mary. Implicit in all of this is that they are back together and they are going to be separated again, which mm-hmm. has become somewhat of a standard for Outlander in order to create drama and in order to create some sort of tension. The idea is to continually separate Jamie and Claire. Whether or not that works to the benefit of the show is an entirely different story. But yes, we're getting that one more time again.
Okay. Not good. Here,
singing. Okay, so is that really Katrina Balfe singing that?
Yes.
Great stuff. Great stuff. I'm in.
And can you rewind just a smidge? Because I believe there's like bagpipes accompanying inside of it. So I just absolutely love it. But that is definitely Katrina Balfe singing.
That is her singing. It sounds like her, certainly, yeah. All right, we'll go back in.
I would believe.
Yeah, right there.
But she continues.
Yeah, but she matches the tone of the bagpipe, which is really cool.
Yes.
Which, you know, and like bagpipes are hard to match, right? Like it is. I mean, you're the more musical one out of us.
I don't really think like a bagpipe would be hard to match compared to any other instrument. A tone is a tone, but you're trying to say, what? Are you trying to make sure that
I just feel like it's hard.
Okay. She sounds great. She I would does agree. Sound great. Yeah.
And yes, it has been confirmed that it is, in fact, Katrina Balfe singing.
Yes.
Which is great.
Lovely job. So here we are. Someone is being buried.
Okay.
We see Jamie holding up front in the casket. Wait, is that Jamie right there?
That looks like it's Jamie.
I know Jamie was in the scene wearing a.
I'm going to say Jamie. Him.
Yes. Jamie's in here. Yeah. And then we've got, of course, we've got Claire. We've got Lizzie,
and then we got some jabroni right over here.
We've got a lot of the people. We got Jamie's peeps here.
Yeah, I imagine Raj is probably behind it there somewhere.
I know Jamie's in here. Yeah, okay,
no, I'm telling you, I think Jamie is the guy.
Keep going.
I think Jamie is this guy right here.
Yes, with the kilt. There we go. Yeah, yes,
that makes sense.
Like he's up front. You just can't see him in this exact shot.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not as brave as I was before you came.
Ah. Oh.
What?
I love that.
Okay.
I love that. And you want to know why I love that?
Why?
Because it kind of reminds me of The Last Kingdom.
Okay. What do you love?
I love when Jamie acknowledges his age.
Yes.
And it reminds me of hashtag spoilers, Seven Kings Must Die, when Uhtred is ostensibly 81 years old within the context of the show, but still looks nary a day over 35 within the show. But at least they make acknowledgement that Uhtred is much older and that, oh man, like we can still do this.
Yes.
We're going to get this done. And I love that even though Jamie doesn't look a day over 35 too, he's still saying, I'm not as brave as I used to be. Ugh. And that is some vulnerability.
Yes.
Here. And at least the way that this trailer starts and the way that it ends, it's giving you at least a little bit of a taste that maybe that bravery that has saved him so many times before will fail him by the end of the season and thus end up to where he ends at the trailer. Yes. At least so, because the idea for every kind of trailer is to tell a story unto itself.
Because the difference between a trailer and a teaser.
Yes. A trailer, a teaser is just supposed
teaser's
to give
what
you
we
a,
had before.
Yes. It's just supposed to give you a flavor. It's just a tone setup.
Little taste.
Little something. And the trailer is meant to give you far more detail, and it is meant to tell a story unto itself. If you don't tell a story that will rise to what the eventual season will become, you're failing at your trailer making. And I will say this, Stas has always done a great job with Outlander as it relates to trailers. I don't think a trailer, regardless of the season, has ever let me down.
I would agree.
I think it's always been fantastic. So, but I just love the fact that Jamie can acknowledge his age. And at the same time, look at this here too. They're showing above the clouds, you know, it first starts with someone being buried and then it shows something rising up above. Ooh. We have like the whole metaphor for rising up above and heaven. Nice. And the whole thing. So I think that's cool. Again, just showing you a taste of what could be happening at the end of the trailer. Mm-hmm. All right.
And then
fire. I mean, can you get any more on the nose?
Now, if you pause this, you're able to see the beautiful wallpapering on the very far right side of it. This, of course, is the beautiful inside of the house.
This is the big house going
this
up.
This is the fire that we've been talking about now for three seasons, yeah. Right? The one that we've been alluding to, the one that, you know, obviously Bree came back to warn them about is here. Here we go. Here is the fire time.
Yep. Okay. Hold on. Let me find my mouse. Because here we go.
Oh, and there's Jamie looking inside.
Wait, hold on. Time
outside.
Out.
What?
Is that Jamie?
Is it?
Oh, yeah, that's Jamie. Okay. Yeah. You know, he looks super old.
It's the reflection in the glass.
It's the reflection. It's the waviness of the glass.
He does look kind of like
he looks
gaunt.
Frail.
Yes.
You know what he reminds me of?
This paused moment.
Remember in Back to the Future 2 when they showed old Biff?
Yes.
He reminds me of old Biff.
Friends, don't pause it here. We don't recommend this shot of Jamie.
Not a great look
but
for
his,
good old James
Fraser.
But
his face right now, I mean, that I feel like is anyone's face seeing their beloved home go up in flames. And then we get a close-up of Jamie right here.
Okay,
yep. And a different scene. And we, of course, see Tom Christie in the back.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's back.
No, not excited about that, of course. But here we go. He's going
to be brave enough to live without you anymore.
Oh, this sweeping shot of these two. This I wonder if this is Jamie coming back with Claire after he's rescued her.
Okay.
Or he comes from the town where, you know, stats of nerds. I remember where the hell she was. Was it Wilmington? I can't remember. Whatever. But I wonder if this is him riding triumphantly back with her, because this feels like one of those shots that's like, oh my goodness, it's Jamie and Claire going back to Fraser's
this
Ridge.
This to me is an Outlander shot.
Yes.
We've got the lush greenery. We've got horse riding, sweeping music, which of course this won't be the music that is played during this scene. But to me, this is like an OG Outlander shot
I would totally agree.
For it.
Of course, it does help that it's actually shot in Scotland, but the idea is that we are in South Carolina. So
North
Carolina, sorry.
Throw your hands up.
Again, stats for nerds. Okay, here we go.
Right here.
Make it back one day.
Okay. Now we've got long hair braid.
So we got some time that's been passing. Mm. So we're going to have...
Because we got Claire later in this trailer, super short hair.
Super short hair.
And we're seeing Claire now with different lengths of her gorgeous silver-strand locks. Of course, Claire is a member of the Grand Marais Club, myself, with the salt and pepper hair. But I like that this trailer is able to show that we are going to have a big amount of time. Because I'm pretty sure that this trailer is going to show what we get in the first half of the season.
Sure,
of season 7. Of course, they're separating all 16 episodes. So they're going to have 8 now and then 8 at a later date. And I feel like this is the trailer for this first half, meaning we're going to have this big of a time difference
within this
first half of the 8 episodes. So we're going to cover a lot of ground.
So from the length of her hair, okay, I'm going to go at least 2 years.
That's a long amount of hair.
I'm going to go at least a 2-year jump, maybe a year and a half that's like. Without the braid?
As someone who has been growing out a lot of hair.
Unless she's got mutant hair, like she's like friggin' from outer space, that hair is at least a year and a half worth of growth, if not 2. I'd probably go heavier on the 2 side.
All right, so let's keep going.
All right.
But more horse riding in the green. I just think it's so beautiful.
They're also saying that we're going to come back, which to me, that seems like, okay, they're going to be going off to fight the war. Like no matter what, I mean, we see war scenes coming up. We know that Jamie is going to be part of it, and young Ian is going to be part of it as well. Like, that's coming. Like, that's inevitable. And I wonder if that's why they just did without the whole drama of the end of the last season. You know what I mean?
We'll find out. Okay, Blake. Interesting.
Will we?
Assassination.
Okay, this is where I had goosies.
Yes, I totally agree.
The perfect musical cue, and then a horse running through water. I don't know what happened, but it was between all of hearing the Claire and the Jamie, and then that musical cue, and then water horsing. Well, water horses, I mean, hello, I'm like coming on back anyway. But that's the moment where the goosies hit me.
Yes.
It's just right there.
That boom, that pound right there. And then like this, seriously, like this majestic feel.
Of Ave Maria.
Yeah. And water and horses and like just through the whole, like, oh my God. And then we have, looks like Jamie and Ian riding pretty aggressively toward whatever.
There's unrest in the streets if you hadn't noticed.
Oh, okay. All right. If you hadn't noticed, like, come on. We have noticed.
We've noticed. We've been there.
I think we got all got a pretty good idea.
I love, though, in the previous shot, you see Claire with what looked to be some new upcoming soldiers.
Sure, yeah.
So there she is, you know, a woman amongst all these men.
And this is a beautiful shot here showing
sunrise or sunset.
These red coats here getting ready for whatever.
What I like about this shot is the red is so few and far between. You know, you really get to more see the white pop out. So it's just a nice shot where we had one band of soldiers and now another band, but it's not in your face red coats at this very moment in this shot.
I will say so far
it's just
already.
Men, you know what I mean? Like people, soldiers in general.
Already, we're getting a cinematic feel from all of these shots. You know, I remember in season 5, I felt like, okay, we're taking it up a little bit here. We're taking it up a notch. Like, it's not flat like season 4 was. And I would dare say that season 6 was flat. However, this right here, phenomenal.
Love it.
This is great.
Whose voice is that? Go back a wee bit.
I don't know. I'm gonna say it's Lizzie, and it's ain't Brie.
Mm-hmm. Go and listen.
Or it's somebody we haven't met yet.
Okay.
All right. If I'm gonna put money on it,
yeah,
somebody we haven't met yet.
Interesting.
All right.
If you hadn't noticed,
yeah. Hey, you know what? Imagine if this was someone from Boston. Hey, there's unrest in the streets. If you haven't noticed,
whoever this character ends up being, Blake,
might be my favorite.
Yes. If you haven't noticed, stuff's going down.
I was going to buy some ciggies and beer down at the Packy, and I saw it. It was unrest.
Loads of it.
People were wicked pissed.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, here we go.
There's unrest in the streets if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, that ain't Brie.
Yeah, noticed.
If you haven't noticed, it's very sing-songy. Dare I say even Galus-like, but it's not her, obviously. It's someone we haven't met yet. Guaranteed. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. The ripping of the Declaration.
Oh, Outlander loves ripping papers down.
It gives it all the drama. All,
give like, me a paper to sign or a paper to rip, and that's all that makes it.
All we need now is just Jamie with his glasses looking at the paper before it gets ripped out
yes,
of his hands.
Yes. But instead we get Bree.
Yes, looking
Bree in town with her little basket.
Yes.
Washington desperately.
I'm loving,
needs
by the way,
up.
Can you press pause?
Yeah.
I'm loving that they're continuing this kind of like tealish blue family color that mm-hmm. they're all seeming to wear. It's my jam.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm wearing it right now. I am yep. in the Fraser colors right now. I could totally be part of that family at this moment.
Yes.
This shot, however, talking about costuming, we get to see Wee Ian.
Yes.
I just feel like his garb gets better and better. And he's, of course, riding in between. Yep. Riding in between the soldiers.
Yes. And those are colony soldiers mm-hmm. there. I would say that more than likely, I'm not sure about the historical accuracy of these uniforms.
Okay.
Okay. Because most of the colonists, you know, didn't really even have uniforms.
Exactly, Blake. But the ones that did, okay, what do those words say on the screen right now? Washington desperately needs soldiers up at Fort Ticonderoga. If there was going to be.
These people didn't even have boots. They had to wear like pieces of paper around their feet just to walk.
Okay. All right. So just know that some people did have some uniforms, Blake, okay? Mr. History Major.
Gloria's already called me a history nerd.
Oh my gosh. George Washington's friends and high up people.
Yep.
At forts.
Sure.
Would have had actual uniforms.
Okay, you know what I'm going to say?
What?
Everybody can say it with me. Marvin, you know what I'm going to say.
What?
Stats are for nerds.
Okay, Blake, you're the one that said that it was inaccurate.
It is.
Stats are for nerds to you, too. It's a blurry shot of these. Go for it, Blake.
All right, here we go.
But Fort Ticonderoga. I love this land.
Oh.
I want to fight for it.
Oh,
so that's it. That's the girl. That's the girl right there. When he says, I love this land and I want to fight for it.
Is that his hand?
I want.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah, it's that's got to be him.
Okay.
There's no reason why.
It's so dark and in the studio it's hard to see.
It's dark.
But
it's dark, though.
Wicked dark. Wicked dark.
Yeah, that's got to be Ian. That's got to be Ian's hand.
There's
some hand holding.
While I'm saying I love this land.
And it's like,
this land is your land. This land is my land.
Let's make an owl.
I want to fight for it.
Yeah, that's got to be him. And he's saying he wants to fight for it and whatever.
Okay.
Okay, and then so we got Jamie looking all kinds of serious.
Got a new belt.
He's got the
lace-up vest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, look at this, huh?
He's got some nice new outfits going on. I like the shirt with the different pleats.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we've got the jabronis walking around in the same boots. They got those at Costco. We just need a bunch of big black boots. Love it.
We call these, again, log carriers. These are just a bunch of log carriers.
How do you feel
about
these costumes, Blake?
I mean, they look good. I just...
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you approve, Blake Larson,
they look good.
In Rhode Island.
I just, you know, I just question the authenticity.
Okay, continue.
Okay. I'd hoped that Jamie would stay away from it.
Okay,
I like that too.
Yes!
I like that too.
Yes!
Because she just wants him to stop.
What I'm wondering, though, is she saying this to somebody? Because if she's saying it to somebody, she'd be saying it to Bree or Roger, mm-hmm. right? Because the way she's saying it is coming from a futuristic knowledge. Or is this a voiceover? Do the voiceovers return?
Yeah, the voiceovers are totally going to return. By the way, Mary and I have been rewatching some of the earlier seasons and earlier episodes of season one. Those freaking voiceovers.
I love them. I love season one. So much.
There was one the one voiceover that I actually liked.
Yeah.
Was when Claire was talking about Frank, and she was saying, after he came back, things were just different. There was a bunch of stuff that he just couldn't tell me, and I didn't want to ask, but I knew he didn't want to say it either. And I just thought that was such an incredible voiceover, because you could never get that from anywhere else.
I'm down with the voiceovers, but I'm interested to find out if this is spoken or if this is a voiceover, because I could see it go either way, but I'm feeling that it's going to be voiceover-ish. Even in this exact scene, You know?
Even when you listen to it,
yes.
The quality of the audio
sounds
it's
voice-over-ish.
Very voiceover.
Yes.
Yes, very voiceover.
Because there's nothing else background going on. Yes. I feel like if it was Bree and Roger, they'd be like kids squabbling in the background.
You would just hear it.
Yes.
You would just hear it. But this is like done in a booth with intent.
But how beautiful is that? I wish that he, you know, wouldn't have been in it. I'd hoped that he wouldn't be doing this route. You know, because think about how much they tried to avoid further conflict. So I love this next bit a bit more. So if you don't mind rewinding a smidge, my love,
sure.
Just so we can hear the entire moment.
Yep, gotcha.
I'd hoped that Jamie would stay away from it. But maybe he's supposed to be there. Maybe he always was.
Oh, okay. Right there. We got the drums beating. The guy, the jabroni is playing the drum while the drum is beating for the music.
It's waking everybody up.
Oh, man. And this is something, this is actually a new trend that you're seeing in trailers.
Okay.
That where the action of the film, of the trailer itself, matches in sound or sound effect to the music of the trailer itself.
I didn't know this was a new thing.
Oh,
I would
yeah.
have thought that they would have been doing this all along. It makes us have the goosebumps.
It actually started. One of the first major trailers to do it was actually the King Kong movie, Skull Island. And it was...
That was a while ago, sweetheart.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
You're
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay.
It was that first trailer that like did it, and okay. it changed the landscape of trailer
okay.
editing from then on. And since then, it has now been embraced. Like if you go back and watch trailers prior to like 2015,
mm-hmm.
like even Star Wars The Force Awakens didn't incorporate that at all. But since 2015 and like 2016, almost every trailer has been edited to the beat of the or to the sound of the trailer itself.
Interesting.
And the action of the trailer and the music of the trailer fits what's happening on the screen, as opposed to the screen fitting to the music.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool,
okay,
it's a cool
very
effect.
Cool.
It will change how you watch trailers from now on.
Yeah.
Yep. Like for example, like the cocking of a gun,
mm-hmm.
that would be a drum beat in the trailer.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, once you see it, you won't be able to unhear it.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
You will not fight for the crown.
Okay. Here we go.
He's back! Oh my God, Sir Gifts-a-Lot is back.
The greatest gift giver of his generation.
Love language. He's back on screen. I can't wait to see all the presents. Oh my gosh.
So many great presents.
And?
Do you think he's going to give away one of those things like the stamp things, you know, for like when you have to do one of the... You know, the letters, and you got to do the wax stamp.
Letterboxing?
No, not letterboxing. The wax stamp. You know,
the sealing.
The sealing. Yeah, the seal. I feel like that's a Lord John gift.
I think everyone needed seals like back then, but very cute. Maybe he had like an embossing kit. You know, to make it fancy.
Embossing kit.
But what is going on here, Blake Larson?
All right, so we got Bree meeting up with this.
William
has to be William.
Yes,
this has to be him. And we got Lord John, proud daddy over here.
Oh my gosh.
And
look at his little outfit with the little dots
so
on it.
Cute. The height of fashion.
And his love for Bree.
Oh, fantastic.
He's just so excited.
I'm still going to say it.
Okay, tell me.
He's got better chemistry with Bree than Roger ever had. Just throwing it out there.
Okay, well, you know, they were separated a lot. So let's see how this season goes.
Better chemistry.
Because the pictures that they took, Roger and Bree.
The character portraits for season seven?
Yes, with the little giggly moments and everything.
Very cute.
All the feels.
Very cute. I'm in. Okay.
Even if for no other reason, to stand beside your son.
Okay, so he's given him some orders, essentially.
Well, he's given him sass. I wouldn't say orders.
You think that's Lord John Grey's sass?
Yeah.
Oh.
Lord John only goes so far.
Oh, okay.
Okay? He's more the kind of guy that makes you want to know that I'm a little disappointed, but you should be feeling the effect more because I am disappointed.
Or is he the one that kind of like words in a certain way that you think it's your own idea because he words it so eloquently that you're like, oh, maybe that was my idea. And you leave saying, wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What just happened? I just got Lord John'd.
Was that Inception? Here we go.
Battle is coming.
Okay, all right.
Boat time.
Boat time.
Who's on a boat? Where are they going?
I got a little voyage of PTSD. I'm going to throw that out there. I see all the boats and I'm like,
you're like, stay on land.
Please. I do not want to see Coconut Guy. If I see Coconut Guy, I'm out. Turn it off.
Don't worry, Blake. I think you're going to be okay. This shot right here, of course, with all of the gorgeous, quote, North Carolina scenery, and Claire and Jamie walking around, loving on their land.
Yes.
But being sad.
This feels to me, out of the mood of it all,
mm-hmm.
This feels like the last moment before they ride off.
Oh, okay.
Before they ride off.
Their faces don't look happy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is when they go, and this is like right before she says, we're going to come back, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, we're going to come back. Like, and then they get on, and then they get on the horses, and then they go. But this is like that last look at all the things before they go. That's my thought.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
I made a promise to myself I would never face my son.
Okay. How are we feeling about this?
About his promise to never face his son? That's a good promise.
No, it's a great promise.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like it's a little in your face?
Just don't fight, Jamie.
Why do you even got to say that?
Just don't fight. Listen to Claire. Right?
Just sit down in a rocking chair.
Hey.
Put your glasses on.
Why you got to get involved, Taurus? Why do you got to keep getting involved? And yet here he is, not looking very official.
No.
Little dirty. Got some blood on his face.
Yes.
His hair is also dulling, which I kind of like as he ages. I kind of like it too,
yeah.
You know?
It's a good look.
It's losing like the bright, bright red.
Yes.
Which you would expect as he gets older. So yes. I like that.
I wonder if they give him like a sort of...
The wigs are looking better as well.
Yeah. No, this is a far cry from season 4 with the dead spider on his forehead.
Yes.
I wonder if they give him a... somewhat of like a, I'm not going to tell you the real guy's name because it won't mean anything to you. But do you remember The Patriot and Mel Gibson?
Yes.
Okay, so that character was based off of a real person. Well, it was a mix of people, but ostensibly it was one person. And his nickname was the Swamp Fox.
Okay.
And he helped all of the militia come together and mm-hmm. fight the British mm-hmm. as what Mel Gibson did in The Patriot. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they give Jamie a role like that. And I'm not saying that it will be a remake of The Patriot, but I feel like we're going down that road.
I'm here for it. I liked The Patriot.
Yes, I'm in on The Patriot.
Okay.
Sneaky good movie. Sneaky good.
Agreed.
Jason Isaacs in that film was the Blackjack yes. before Blackjack.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay.
Okay. There we go.
Plus the battle of a gun.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay. Good filming.
We have missed Culloden. We have missed battles. Give me running people. The only thing that could make this better is one of those people being shirtless Dougal.
Yeah, just running out.
But that cinematography, just for that fleeting moment.
Yes, perfect.
Beautiful, perfect. Great. I'm ready to battle. And then here we are back with what seems to be blood splattered Jamie.
Yes. Yes, now it looks like we have some militiamen coming here fighting against the Redcoats for some sort of head-on-head battle. The way that it looks is, this is Ian right here. You can tell from his costume. But it looks like the militia is raiding the Redcoats as opposed to the other way around.
Okay.
Okay, that's the way that it feels to me. Yes, I'm in. Give me all the war paint.
Oh, with Ian's like slicing moments.
Yep, I'm in.
Totally. And in. Yeah, he's taking it up a notch. And I'm scared. Like in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
In a great acting way, scared.
Yep. This is a good look from him. Yeah. The editing for this trailer is spectacular. And this is a shot that I want to call out. Right here. Okay, so
Ian in this battle?
Yes.
I mean, not Ian, William.
Ooh.
Do we see the same? actor in any which way, shape, or form.
I don't think we do.
I think it's really hard to guess.
Yeah, and it's
they're
it's
so fast too many and blurry.
I love this editing shot cannons. Right here, like, because not only does it go from the swiping motion from Ian, it culminates in a explosion from the cannon. So you have a quick action, mm-hmm. an explosion, and then it shows the result right away. Boom, right there. It's the camera panning off of the explosion and moving into a sword that has been clearly, it's following the motion of the camera. Mm. But it's a totally different scene.
Yes.
But the editing here.
Lighting is different.
The editing shows as it is, it as one complete motion, mm-hmm. which is really, really cool.
Claire picks it
and
up.
And then Claire's there picking this bad boy
in
up.
In such a cute top. I mean, she was like, I don't care about you swamp people. I'm going to come in the cutest dang blouse that you know they're going to redo at Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Claire's battle blouse. She means business. Here she is wielding the sword. This coming from the woman who had to learn how to hold a little dirk.
Yes.
Way back in season one.
And now she's just wielding this
and
saber.
And look at the length of her hair again.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is long hair, Claire.
Yep, okay.
Blood of my blood, bone of my bone.
Okay, calling that back, ending it on Raja and Bree with this cute little like laugh and the whole thing.
But the
Raja,
whole, like, wedding, yes.
Clean cut Raja, way
mm-hmm.
better than long hair Raja.
Mm-hmm.
Way better.
Love it.
I'm in too. Don't be too much in.
I always am.
Freaking guy.
I always am in.
Richard freaking Rankin.
Roger and Richard Rankin.
That guy. Rick Rankin. Hitting on my wife.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he totally was.
No,
I've never lived it
down. We just had a moment.
Exactly.
Okay?
You don't have a moment with another man's wife. You're moment free with another man's
He's
wife.
Fine. He is fine. Go, okay. Go.
Okay. Aww. Oh, okay, Claire. All right.
Look at this little face being so sweetly touched. Yeah, whose hand is that?
That's got to be. You don't touch another man's wife unless like that, unless you're that man.
Okay.
Okay. So, no, that's got to be Jamie.
How did you get that?
Okay. I got an outlandish theory already.
Oh my God. Okay.
Do you want to hit the outlandish theory button now? Or do you
want
to wait?
I want it now. I want it now.
That's what she said. All right. Here we go. Here, hold on.
That's what she said.
Okay. Here is my...
Is this the same hand that was just stroking your face? Can you go back? I want to see if this is the same shirt. No?
No, there's a frill on the other one.
Different shirt.
So this is a totally different scene.
What did you...
Totally different scene. Okay, this is going to play into my outlandish theory.
Oh
okay,
my God,
here we
I
go.
I can't wait.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, inquiring.
Outlandish theory.
Lumos is ecstatic.
So she's waiting with bated breath.
She is.
With bated purr. We got Jamie saying this to Claire. And then as we all know, at the end of the trailer, Jamie looks like there at the end. It looks like he's croaked. We all know that he ain't croaked, okay? This to me is this is for show watches, okay? And this to me feels like a red herring or a misdirect, okay?
A trailer misdirect?
A total trailer misdirect. They're editing it as if Jamie is giving this to Claire. Because you see Claire, you see the hand touch the face, and then it shows the close-up, and it's got the hand giving this jewel or whatever, and Claire is saying, where'd you get that? And I think this is the style that we got here.
Mm-hmm. Style of what?
The frill.
The shirt style?
Lord John written all over it. This is Lord John not giving it to Claire because Jamie has already mentioned this to Claire. I bet you this is well after. This is Lord John taking the jewel because maybe he thinks Jamie is dead. And he's not giving it to Claire. He's giving it to Bree.
Interesting, Blake.
And Bree goes back.
Interesting.
Bree goes back, baby. Back to the future.
Thanks to the best gift giver.
Thanks to the best gift giver. The greatest gift that he could give Bree or anybody is a ticket back to the future with old Biff.
So you think that Lord John knows about time travel?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I do. I think he gives it to Claire. Or he may not Bree? Know about it. He gives it to Bree. I don't think he know. He may not know about time travel.
Interesting, Blake.
But he. I think he gives it to Bree on Jamie's orders.
Now, are you doing this all because of the frill?
All because of the frill.
Interesting.
Just throwing that out there.
Interesting.
See what happens.
Very interesting.
Just, you know what? Put it on the wall, see if it sticks.
Okay.
Okay?
Go.
All right. As we all know, I'm about 75% of right about 75% of the time.
We know, Blake.
So.
Statistically.
All right.
Get this. Been saving it.
Then what has he been saving? Then what has he been saving if that's not his hand?
No. I think that's the thing he's been saving. That is. But it ain't him giving it to Claire.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So you think, okay.
I think they're talking about it right now, but it's been edited so that it looks like it's him closing it around Claire's hand.
Interesting.
Problem is, and those hands, if you go back, okay? Look at these hands. Look at these fingernails. Perfectly freaking manicured. Are you telling me Jamie's got perfectly manicured hands?
I mean, real Jamie, no. Sam Heughan Jamie, probably.
Yeah, but I'm telling you.
Okay.
No. That is Lord John quality manicure.
That is cuticle oil.
Cuticle. Lemon oil on those cuticles at all times.
Okay, keep going, Mike.
Okay. All right, here we go. Although I wouldn't be surprised if Lord John did know about time travel. Because freaking phrases are telling everybody about goddamn time travel like it's their job. It's like Michael Keaton and Batman. I'm Batman. Yeah, we know you're Batman. Half the freaking world knows you're Batman.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Should I be killed? You could take it, go back.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Calm down.
Cragna Dune is back, baby. Was not expecting this in the trailer.
Cragna Dune is back. They are clearly trying to make a push for the fact that somebody's going back, and they're giving you the idea that it's Claire. But it's misdirect. It's clear misdirect. It ain't clear. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why in a little bit.
Sex is back. Stop. How dare you not pause there?
Okay, sorry.
There is I love you, but like Breathless, I love you. And yeah. Like, we're going to do it, I love you. And then leaning back in the bed with long hair, Claire. Yes, 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 yes.
All right.
Now we're on a boat.
And then we're on boat, Voyager PTSD, but that's okay.
It's okay. It's totally okay.
More boats.
Who's on the boat, Blake? Who do you think's on the boat?
I am going to say it is Bree, okay. Because she's going back to Cragna Dune.
Okay.
And she's sailing the Atlantic.
Mm.
I bet the season ends with Bree going back.
Interesting.
I'm calling it right now.
Okay.
Last shot is Bree modern time.
Awesome.
Okay. I'm going to say that she doesn't go back to the 60s. Okay. She doesn't go back to the 70s. Okay. I bet you she ends up in like the 80s and 90s.
Wouldn't that be rad?
That would be... That would be
cowabunga, dude.
That would be bodacious, hey. Man. I just like that idea.
That'd be more 90s cowabunga.
But okay. You know,
Diana getting freaky with some time travel.
Why not?
Man?
You're already doing time travel.
Let's just throw everybody for a loop.
And
right?
I bet you it's probably at least the late 80s to early 90s. Because when were these books, you know, made? Right? These books were made in like what, the mid 90s. Sure, whatevs. I don't know. Stats are for nerds. But they were there around that time. And Diana, probably at that time, would want it to be somewhat relatively modern. So I guarantee that she goes back at that time. Just for the funsies. Because that's what Diana wanted.
Interesting.
Okay.
I'm so proud to call you family.
Oh! Me too, Roger.
That's right,
and then,
Roger.
Of course, we have Bree, obviously giving birth.
I'm giving birth here. And I wonder if she goes back to the future because something happens with her because she's given birth here, right? Something happens either with her or with the kid. And it's like, we need to go back because what we have here can't solve the issue.
You got this. This is definitely candlelit kilt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is absolutely back in time, right? This is 1700s. Okay. But I'm saying, I wonder if while giving birth, something happens to Bree.
Okay.
Where it's like, oh no, we got problems. Like, we got to get her back to the future. Or if there's something wrong with the kid and like the kid is messed up somehow.
Okay.
And like, we can't operate on a kid here. Like, we don't have this, we don't got the technology for that. Which is, again, probably one of the reasons why Diana has her go back to like,
what you think the 80s and 90s?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Just throw that out there.
Interesting.
Telling you, that's the final shot of the season.
Keep going. Let's see.
Bree with self-drying clothes.
Keep going. Bum equipment.
And it's sports almanac.
Like a Bugs Bunny sweatshirt. Yeah. Keep going, Blake. I'm just saying, interesting.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
the fireflies.
I love it. Father-daughter moment.
Oh, okay. I'm in on that. I'm in on that. Good characterization right here. Yep. And I worry for you both. This is right before she goes back. Here's the thing. Oh. Ooh. Ooh. More outlandish theories. What if the kid, what if they're worried that the kid can't go back in time, but they have to take the gamble? And this is right before they go back in time. And Rod just talking to her like, I worry for both of you. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Like, can the kid go with you? Can he not go with you? Or she, whatever?
Do you think this is Roger's voice hearing this? I thought this was Jamie.
Good point. Good point. Okay, sorry.
If you both.
Yeah, that's Jamie.
I guess that's what fathers do.
Yeah. Oh, look at that sweet moment. Those two men smiling. We got the flag. We've got the house.
Get the hell out of my house.
Yes!
Out of my house!
Yes! Yes, yes, yes.
This is a noble house of black.
I love... Well done. Nice crossover.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I love that they're ending the trailer with this because we've got... just be careful. We got some spoiler situation going on. We've got all these like loving moments and like, it's so good to be with you and little fireflies and like, cause we had our battle moments, which were fun. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we've got just sweet and sex and ooh, yay, huggies. And let's eat cheese and apple on the
Outlander.
Beach. Exactly. And now she's get the hell out of my house.
Right. And again, this is the idea of what a trailer does. It tells its own story. There's a rise of tension, a release of tension. Now a downward spiral here. Only to let go on what is ostensibly a cliffhanger to get you to come back to see the rest of the story. That's how the story flow works for all trailers, or at least should.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Now I can't see length of hair.
No, don't do that.
Oh,
but this is not good.
Yeah, this is not great, Bob.
No.
Not, I mean, really, really.
Not great, Bob.
Okay, here we go. Great shot there. Mm-hmm. And then we, again, the way the trailer is edited, excellent stuff, because we have that loud moment and then we have the fire spreading. Mm-hmm. And again, we're matching movement. And that's the whole idea, that when you have a well-edited trailer, it's not just about sound or music. It's about movement. And that movement of the spreading spreads into Ian spreading his bow. So you can pulling on his bow. Mm-hmm. That movement keeps the trailer flowing properly.
With the musical movement. Love it.
Oh! And then we have the shot of that, the arrow coming through, which matches the hand that's on the bed and the grabbing. Uh-huh. It matches that movement.
But what is this bedding? Go back. There's something on that bedding. A zipper.
Oh!
You
get out of here.
What is that? Right there.
Oh, look at that. We got a zipper. All right, this is a total confirmation. They're totally going back to the future.
Doesn't that look like a zipper to
you? That's a wicked zipper. Look at that. Come on, that's a total zipper.
How do you feel
about
this print?
This feels like that print that you would get. Like, remember when, like, you would go to your grandmother's house or whatever, and like they would have that blanket, that like that weird smelling blanket?
I didn't have a grandma.
Oh, okay. Well, okay,
my
fine.
Grandma's
but for
died.
Those of you, for those of you nerds,
thanks,
that, like
Blake.
They always,
yeah.
Oh, where is it? Hold on.
Thanks, cancer.
I didn't get to have a stinky blanket grandma moment, Blake.
I love how you're like asking me, like you think that I had any grandparents.
I meant like the royal you.
No, I didn't have any elders. None. Done. All cancer. It's terrible.
Shame.
No grandparents day for me. No multi-generation. I love this family.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Blake.
Oh, that is so funny.
Anyway, I guess some people have a stinky grandma flower blanket.
Okay, hold on. All right, let's go back. Stinky flower grandma blanket. All right, let's go back here. Okay.
No! No, don't do that!
Okay, so we got someone.
Whew. Yeah, okay.
Right, here you go, Blake. It's next, it's I the thought next that, scene.
Well, the reason why I wanted to go back this far is because I thought it might have been William, but I don't think that's him.
You missed it. Okay. You got hand grab zipper.
Yes.
And then
all right, there's no print here. All right, this isn't smelly old grandma.
Like you want to make sure that Jamie and Claire aren't having sex on a... On a grandma sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Jamie with the flaming, yeah, whatever.
Flaming arrow.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, ooh, Claire.
Short hair Claire.
Short hair Claire.
With a noose around her neck, yes, correct?
Yes. Okay, but that's how the teaser ended. Mm-hmm. So, and that obviously is when she's...
Yes, is where we left off.
Yeah, we literally, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, whoa. Whoa! I was right!
About what?
They're going back to the future.
What in this makes you think that? What is this?
The fact that there's a string of freaking Edison lights in some cave?
Is that
cave?
What it is?
Well, no, I mean, they're, but it's light bulbs with a guy with a hard hat.
Is it?
Okay, unless that's a big blunder, these guys are going back to the future. And as a matter of fact, I would dare say.
Rewind a smidge. Where do you see a hard hat?
Right here on his head.
That's
a hat.
I don't even see a head.
This is a person running.
Okay, yes, I know it's a person.
And this is the strap that holds the hard hat on. Okay. And this is a white hard hat.
Okay.
It could be a flashback for Claire going back to World War II? Possible. Doubtful.
Could the zipper bedding be a flashback?
No.
Why?
Doubtful. Because she's not going to remember back to... She doesn't want to take any pleasure in Frank. You know, them doing Frank. The dirty. Because it's not. It's not.
Okay.
She was never happy about it. She ain't gonna remember back to it, and she didn't cheat on anybody. She didn't cheat on him, at least from what the show has told us so far. Okay. Well, we got some dude running with a hard hat in a tunnel with lights. Those ain't fireflies. Okay, here we go. All right, Jamie.
Go back, do your tunnel thing again.
All right.
That goes by really quick.
It does.
On purpose.
That's the idea. Yeah, totally a guy running with a hot hat.
Okay, right. I'll give you that.
All right. Okay, and then I'll...
Wait.
You'll come back to me.
Just keep waiting.
You always do.
Will there be a bunny?
Okay, all right.
Hey, I like the... You end the music.
All right.
Let it resolve.
That's the one issue that I have.
What? The musical resolve?
No. Jamie... Sitting, laying down.
The whole thing has come back to me. I always do.
Making it look like he's croaked.
I can't. I don't usually do this. You know, I'm feeling like I can't hang anymore.
I don't. It just feels very disingenuous. It feels like a moment that's made to. If you are a fan of this show, you know he's not going to die. You know it. Like, so why end on that note? It's similar to what they did with Claire at the end of the teaser, with her being pushed off the thing. It's like, come on, man. We know. Like, we know.
Listen, man. Things happen. People get hurt. Maybe they do. Maybe things
I'm
happen.
Sure that he gets hurt. Like, maybe I don't doubt that. But, like, don't make it seem like he's going to die.
Well.
Because we all know that he's not going to die.
I don't know, Blake. This is a magical show. We got to see a little snippet of Craig Nadune right there.
That's true. That's a good point.
Okay. So do you even have a GBG right now, or is it like we just let it all out in the analysis of this?
I think we probably let it all out in the analysis. I will say this. As a trailer, I will give this trailer a 4.99. And the only deduction that I'm giving – no, I'm going to give a 4.98. I'm going to give a two deductions. One for the there's unrest in the streets as I was going to get some ciggies and beer.
Because
at
you don't know who the person is?
No, it's just
because
it's just too much. It's like, oh, if you didn't see it, if you didn't notice it. Come on, man. We all notice
you
it.
You think it's okay. Just too obvious
just
of
too,
a statement.
Way
okay.
Too obvious. Like, that's exposition gone bad. Okay. And then the next deduction that
maybe
I'm giving.
Maybe they need it for the people who aren't Outlander viewers, because they show this trailer on other things.
I know, but it's implicit. It's implicit, especially when the next, very next scene is them ripping the Declaration of Independence off of a pole. Like, yeah.
Fun fact, Rhode Island, the state in which Blake and I live, was the first state to declare independence from Britain.
Yes.
We actually declared independence on May 4th, two full months before everybody else on July 4th. We were just done with that. No, yeah. You cannot take our taxes. We're going to be our own country.
We're out on you.
Little Rhode Island. Like, goodbye.
We're just gonna
we're
get
independent.
Drunk and burn your ships.
So that's what Rhode Island did. We actually have like a separate Independence Day.
Yes.
Which we acknowledge. And then out of the 13 colonies, Rhode Island was the last, the final of the 13, because still they wanted to be their own country. Fun facts.
Oh, Rhode Island.
That's pretty much what everyone said.
I know.
When they were signing.
You're so cute.
Oh, you think you can.
Oh.
You with all of your ships and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.98. Okay. First deduction is the exposition gone wrong. And then ending the trailer with Jamie.
This is one of the highest markings you've ever given anything in Outlander is a 4.98, and I love that. And I feel like that is how everyone feels. I mean, I'm obviously giving it a 5+. Like, I loved this trailer. I loved how in tune it was with its musical moments, like just like you were saying. Mm-hmm. I love how many bits they were giving us that made us reminisce and feel in the style of Outlander of yore, as I said previously, but also things that are new and intrigue us, and we wonder what could that be, whether we are show watchers or book readers, you know, I think there's a lot for us to be able to sink our teeth into. I'm excited that we were able to see sneak peeks of some new people who we're going to be introduced to. Obviously, we know that there's going to be a time jump, thank you to Claire's hair. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to do all of that within 8 episodes. Because like you and I said, we most likely think that this is going to be covering, it will be interesting to see if this all covers these 8 episodes. I think it might.
Yeah, no, this is very clearly, in my estimation, a...
Maybe all of it.
Yeah, I would say that this is a complete trailer for the first half of the season 7, right? Like, this is... yeah. And they're probably holding back, obviously, the really good stuff. But you can see a difference in how it's being shot right off the jump. You can see it. You can feel it. And I think that bodes well for what we're about to watch.
Yeah.
I will say this. If I have to have a bad, I'm worried about what happens and who's doing the actual show running.
Yeah.
Because Matt Roberts is off running the prequel.
My bad is I hope that they're not going to be getting into a pickle because of the strike right now.
They guaranteed
the WGA strike. So, you know, in regards to, okay, this is going to be our first half. I really hope that this first half feels so good and complete that if we have to wait a wee bit longer for the second half because of the strike that's going on, that it will be okay. That will be enough to satiate us because I just don't want it to be like what happened last season where things got in the way and then it felt disjointed. So I'm hoping, and I feel like they would have done this on purpose. I mean, they knew in general that this was going to be broken into two halves.
Yes.
And I feel like they won't do us wrong, that this half will feel very, very satisfying, even if the second half does take a while longer to come back to us. Because, of course, they haven't announced when the second half is coming.
Correct.
They said 2024.
Yes, but so, but they don't know.
Correct. Yeah. And we haven't gotten word of things being done. And of course, for those of you who are unaware, with the writer's strike, anyone who is a writer in any which way form in the WGA is not allowed to do that. And showrunners are writers, so then they're not able to kind of like give that kind of feedback.
Right. So
so even if the whole script was written and canned,
yes,
you still can't.
You still can't make adjustments.
Yes.
You can't. All right. So for those of you who don't know what's happening.
Oh, they filmed everything, but does it include the editing?
Right. Because as a showrunner, you would think that you need to be in the editing bay.
So that's going to be what's interesting, because sometimes people who are members of the WGA are still able to like be on the premise of things.
Yes.
But not work in the writing
in any writing capacity whatsoever.
So this is going to be interesting to just see and to see if they're open to talk about it. So anyone who technically is in the WGA as a writer, even though the filming has ended, editing, and you will change scripts while you're editing, and the whole, like you said, Blake, like just because the writing part was done until the show is completely finished.
Yeah, it's in lock.
Writers are still included in this process.
Right. So like, for those of you who aren't aware of what's happening, the Writers Guild of America, which are all the writers who are work for the union, right? Writers who write for films, for television shows, for games, like they are on strike right now.
And many times people may be a director, but also have been a writer in the past.
Correct.
So like, you know, it's not just that they have to be currently writing the show. It could be people who wear multiple hats.
If you are part of the WGA in any capacity, you are not allowed to write in any way for Hollywood. I mean, you can go home and write your own stuff, but like you cannot present that to anybody in Hollywood or abroad. You just cannot do it. If you're part of the WGA. Now, like, for example, Outlander doesn't use DGA directors, Directors Guild of America. They don't do it. But they do use WGA writers, right? Matt Roberts is part of the WGA. He cannot write right now. So, like, let's say if he's writing scripts for season 8, that's it. He cannot do it. If he's writing scripts for the prequel, it's on a halt. That's it. Now, here's the thing, as Mary has said, and we actually learned this straight from Rondi Moore himself. As a showrunner, you are in the editing bay. You are not necessarily writing, but you are creating. There is a little bit of gray area there, right? Because you're molding story. So can you just trust your editors to
create the vision that you have?
Right. So there have been instances of like HBO and Disney requiring their showrunners to come back to do showrunning duties, but not write.
Yes.
Right? Just because you're not writing doesn't mean you can't do showrunning duties. That is taking care of the budgets, making sure the people are doing their jobs. You know, maybe there's, second unit photography that's happening. Like showrunners can still showrun, but they cannot write. Mm-hmm. So the only way that there will be no
hiccups
is if the back half of season 7 is already in lock, right? If it's in lock, that means we're done. That's it. We're moving on. If they're still in the process of editing, as a showrunner, Matt Roberts and Ron Moore, they have to make a choice. Do we just trust the editors to do what we want? Or do we wait? And there's no end in sight for the WGA because the studios, they're not giving in. And the writers should not give in because it's all about streaming and the monies that are being paid from streaming. And it's a definite thing.
And this is across the board, right? So this is for all of our shows. And what we're really hoping as people who love television and movies and games is that this is handled quickly. Like Blake said, there doesn't really seem like it's going to be ending quickly. But what happened the last time the WGA went on strike for a long time is we got a hell of a lot of reality TV because they didn't need writers to write it because it was reality TV.
That was the burgeoning of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like, that's how all that got famous. Because
they literally couldn't write. So they were like, we need to put something on TV. We need to fill up the airways. How can we get away without writing a script? So please, please figure this out for all of us. But so we're just saying that there is no date for the back half. We do believe that this is going to be really all here for this first half of season 7. And gosh darn it, I love it. And I have so much faith in this season.
Yeah.
I am so, so, so excited about this. And that's why I'm saying, like, even though we don't have a date, it's not like they're like January 1st, 2024. I have faith that these 8 episodes are going to be tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
Yep. Yep. Totally agree. All right. So did you give a rating? Yeah. You did 5+, right? For the trailer. Yeah. Yes. And I did 4.98. Okay, great. Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about concerning this trailer or the WGA strike or Outlander in general or anything else that we have going on for Mary and Blake Media?
I just am really excited. And as I said in the beginning of the episode, we are going to be doing live podcasts. We are going to be doing them on Sunday nights. So the episodes of Outlander are going to be airing on Friday nights. And we are going to be podcasting Sunday nights at 8:30 Eastern in season, of course. So stay tuned for that. Blake and I are still, of course, podcasting about Queen Charlotte and also Harry Potter in the meantime as well. And all of that you can find at maryandblake.com. We do want to thank those of you who are members at jointhenerdclan.com. You are going to be getting early access to those episodes and some other fun things, as well as After Dark episodes.
No, you got to say it right.
After Dark.
There you go.
But we're just really excited. And we're especially grateful for your patience if you have been a longtime listener of ours. As I said earlier, we just had a lot of struggles and a lot of health struggles over the past couple of years. So we're just really grateful that we're able to come back and do what we love and be live with you all. So know that sharing is caring. And even just with this little itty bitty episode that's coming out right now, you can head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave a written review. That's going to help give some juice. Even if you don't listen to an Apple Podcast, if you watch us live on Facebook or YouTube, and that's how you intake OutlanderCast, you can still actually head to Apple Podcasts, not just leaving a star review, but actually writing a sentence or two. It's going to help boost the algorithm so other Outlander fans can check this on out.
Oh, actually, I do want to call this out. Nicholas Gallucci on YouTube says that there are actors and directors joining the strike in 30 days if the strike does not end, if it doesn't come to a completion. And that's already happening, by the way, in some instances. There are some actors who are supporting the writers, and there are some directors supporting the writers. So this could turn into a very, very, very big delay.
But we're going to have faith.
Yes.
And we're just going to hold on tight. So crossing our fingers. Of course, Blake and I, thank you all. And we're just really excited. For those of you listening on the podcast, I do want to let you know that I do have a complimentary text service. And if you're not driving, you can write this down. Area code 401-281-5551. I'll say it one more time. 401-281-5551. And you just put that number in, and in your message field, write the word Outlander. You will be automatically added to our complimentary text list. Friends who are out of the U.S., you can send us an email at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com, and I will add you to the list that I have for our international friends, because I don't want you to miss out. And through that, I'll just send you updates to make sure we definitely are podcasting. Let you know about any exciting announcements that we might be having in regarding to Outlander cast and all that jazz.
All right, you want to close this bad boy out?
Sure do.
Let's do it.
Hearts, thank you so much for joining this episode of Outlander Cast. Whether you've been joining us live or you're listening on the podcast, we appreciate you. We have loved podcasting about this amazing show over all of these several years, and we're really, really excited about season 7.
I'm just pumped too. I will say this: the trailer has me excited, and it has me excited in the way that I was excited for season 5, because it felt like season 5. Was right the way that it was. It just felt correct. Felt like Outlander, you know, even an evolution of Outlander. And I think this is probably the next step in that. and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Agreed.
Especially if they stop playing with time again, like clearly the way that they're going to. I want to see what comes of that. I want to see what happens.
Outlander magic.
Right. I want to see the Outlander magic a little bit. Like, I'm tired of, like, I don't want to say I'm tired, but, like, I don't want to make things up just for the sake of making things up. And that's what season six felt like to me. This feels a lot more cohesive. It's just from the trailer.
And I think it is. I think it is. And that's why I'm excited. I mean, I love Outlander in general. And like so many of you, Blake and I have been revisiting the series and previous episodes. I've been re-listening to the books, just kind of gearing up and being back in the world of Outlander. And we're just really excited. So if you are on Facebook, head on over to the Mary and Blake Facebook group. Just put in Mary and Blake. You're going to find a whole bunch of other Outlander nerds in there. You can find us on all the socials. You can also search the hashtag OutlanderCast and to connect with us there, because we are just really, really excited to meet you, whether you've been a longtime listener or you're brand new.
And of course, go to maryandblake.com to check out all of the great stuff that we have going on over there, whether it is all the different podcasts or blogs that we have. There's a lot of great stuff. And we just wrapped The Last Kingdom. We just finished The Seven Kings Must Die. And we did each and every season for that television show as well. I'm excited. And then, of course, at jointhenerdclan.com for the best show on television by far right now, Succession. I'm doing my knee-jerk reactions. And Succession is about to end in 2 weeks. So,
we're going to do something right now that we haven't done for a while, and I told Blake I wanted to do it. So pull up our Join the Nerd Clan website.
Okay.
Because we got out of the habit of thanking some of our most beloved patrons at Join the Nerd Clan. So there's different levels that you can join for as little as $2 a month, but we want to always give some proper thanks to those who have been some of our most generous supporters. And as I said, little as $2 a month, you can become a member there. We're going to be giving all sorts of behind-the-scenes access, early access to podcasts, and some other fun things there.
Yes, so we're going to thank first to the executive producers Angie Chung and Gavin, Bobby Francella, Dana Mott Bronson, Dee Leach, Joanne Felci, Kathleen, Katie Valentine, Kirsty Wilson, Lisa Kincaid, Lisa Kroenke, Martha, Marianne St. Laurent, Nadra Asaf, Sarah Zokinen, Shannon Curtis, Siobhan O'Connor, Susie Q, Tara, and then we're going to thank you for the co-producers at the $20 per month level, and for the executive producers, you are the $30 per month level. Amanda Draper, Angie Leith, Barbara Falk, Christina Kotsis, Deanna Hitchcock, Jerry Siegel, Hannah Sage, Janet, Jennifer Dominic, Caitlin Cassidy, Keelan Daw, Christina Mann, Lori Ellen, Meredith Bastillo, Peg Rogers, Sharon Stevenson Kelly, Sue Bellows, Tina Schneider, oh my goodness, Whitney Robbins, Bethany Fowler, Brenda Lowry.
When I do it, I do, they're just the first names.
Oh, okay, sorry. And then lastly, we'll thank the associate producers, Bethany, Brenda, Bridget, Candy, Carolyn, Carrie, Celine, Christina, Dawn, Diana, Diane, Diane. Let's see. We got the next ones over here as well as my computer moves very slowly. Jeffrey, Jennifer, Jennifer, Karen, Larissa, Laura, Laura, Lauren, Lindsay, Luann, Marilyn, Mary, Michelle, Michelle, Mo, Norma, Sarah, and Shauna. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all of our patrons, but especially those of you who Blake listed. This all happens thanks to you. So we greatly appreciate you, and we hope you all have a wonderful night. My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.